Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But I want to say ahead of time now, so you can prepare. I think this celebration on January 20th, other than the fact that being my mother and her twins' birthday, happy soon coming birthday, Mom. At this day, I believe is more significant than you can imagine. This is your chance, America. This is your chance to honor a Christian American apostle for who he was and who he stood for and how amazingly he stood. Yeah, I'm talking about it is Martin Luther King Day Jr. It is time for us to realize that this is our brother in the context of a leader in God's church. Mm. You know what I'm saying? This is an apostle that led America to its original intent. Mm-hmm. You know, as Dr. King said, he said over and over again, he says, if this was this country over there or that country over there, I could understand the ignorance. I didn't mean to say that, but you know, what was going on.
He had away with the words, didn't he?
Yes. And he said, but this is America. So we're only holding you to what's written on the papers. What he's saying is, we're just saying, look at the original intent of this nation in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So when you hear about the civil rights legislation being written after the death of our president being assassinated in 1964, what was being said here is everybody gets civil rights. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody. That's 1964. That was like 90% of the history of when America was discovered in 1492. You're looking at what 90% of that, all that time was under oppression for the African American. It was very few moments and windows there. And so we owe an honor to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's so significant. It's so significant, more than you can imagine, because he was a loyal Christian to Christ, living under the law of God in love. I mean, it's just amazing. Mm. But he was a good Christian American in the context of he lived up under the laws of the Constitution. And if the preamble of the Constitution talks about, and it's justice for everyone. So an unjust law is not a law at all, is what he's always talking about. And because the very preamble to our documents that we stand on our paper says that it's about justice, you know, and justice for all. And so be right now, don't just let it catch you by surprise and wake up on the 20th and go, hey, oh my goodness, I don't have to work today. I'm just going to go. No, I mean, focus. Ask God to begin between now and this day that we commemorate an apostle, Christian apostle, who stood up and brought us on a journey 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, by the way, when he spoke in 1963. That was 100 years later. So people say, hey, the executive order was signed by Abraham Lincoln, which is very important, but it took 100 years just to be able to have that conversation in D.C. Wow. And the president was against it. And what was interesting is that when you look at Dr. King, you look at Robert Kennedy, and you look at President Kennedy in that room together right before that speech, there's something that all three of them have in common. They will not live out that decade.
Wow.
They will not live out that decade. And God was saying something to this country. I got a question. This is a question I ponder. If President Kennedy wouldn't have been so worried about politics, if Robert Kennedy wouldn't be trying to make this appeasement to the Southern racist leaders that were down south and governors, they were trying to not shame them and everything and just saying, dude, this is stupid. Mm-hmm. I mean, if this is my last presidency, I'm not, and this is what's always happened, because people want to stay in power, they're not willing to do what's right presently with their power. If they just would have said, if he would have said, because God's doing something, God was rebuking America, going, listen, this is not right. And so in the context of that, what happened, where would it be today if the president would have not just met in his office, but stood out there side by side and would have told the governors, governor, as he said, all he thought, you know, you're going to let them in the college. You're going to break this racism and this, all these crazy laws of unequal justice. And that's just it. and we're going to remove you from office, not just the doorway.
Yeah.
And what would happen? Because I mean, if he knew that he only had, you know, a few more months to live, that's all he had.
Right.
That's all he had. That would he have done things differently? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with God. He wasn't going to be present with the Pope, by the way. He was going to be present with God. And so would John Kennedy have done anything differently? Because, listen, you have to understand that that was Jesus standing before him. He says, you know, whatever you've done to the least of these of mine, you've done them to me. And so when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was standing in the White House in the presence of the president, that was Jesus. What are you going to do with this?
Mm.
You know, because you weren't president prior. You weren't, you know, whatever. But now you are. Now you're president. Are you willing to be a one-term president to do what's right?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
To do what's right. We need about probably like 10 consecutive one-term presidents who would just do what's right, you know? But in the context of that, that he did, that what did he do? He just it was being very political. He's just trying to maintain the power of the South. Well, that's how one-fifth of the person got in the Constitution. If you study history, that was the very same spirit that was over America when America's original intent was every man's created equal. Everybody fought for this country in the Revolutionary War. But the South, the Southern spirit, that racist spirit that was over the South, and they wanted to have this union, you know, they still want to have this United Nation type, United States. They just said, well, you know, we'll just start with one-fifth and work our way out of that. Yeah, and it's like, you know, 1863 and then 1963. I mean, come on. That's 450 years of oppression of the African-American that, I don't know, I guess we're talking about it.
Yeah.
But just, you need to talk about it now because you have to understand this is what Jesus, let me tell you what Jesus said. You know, I just want to tell you right up front for all those who are watching this on Christian Television Network and all those that are listening around the world, but this mostly Americans, you know, listen, that the first thing Jesus said to his disciples, those that follow him, that are carrying out his wishes, and he's saying to us, he says, go to all the nations, tell them I love them, tell them I want them in the family, tell them I'll forgive them. He says, go to the nations and preach this good news to them. Let them know that this is who I am and they have access to the family. And those that believe and are saved, disciple them, disciple these nations. And that word nation comes from the Greek word ethnos. That's where we get the word ethnic group. So when you're not liking your European brothers, you're not liking your German brothers, you're not liking your African brothers, you're not liking your Greek, Mexican, Jewish, you know, whoever, I mean, these different nations, these different ethnos, if you're not love, you're hating them. You're hating Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a dilemma with that. And this is the dilemma I got because, you know, hate will always be here, but this is what I got a dilemma with, that to say you're a part of the church while you hate your brother, it just puts me into a perplexing state. And the word of God just quickens my heart to say, if you hate him, if you hate the man horizontally, you cannot love the man vertically.
Mm, that's right.
And we like to say everybody's in a better place, but God would have to be a liar.
That's right.
He'd have to be a liar, and he's not a liar. And so the enemy's done everything he can to create some sort of division and derision and discord. And the biggest issue would be, you know, how hard is it for someone who was oppressed to love and to forgive? You know, like what Pastor David Alexander on the Gulf Coast said. He's also a captain with the Pensacola Police Force. He says that, you know, you have to be willing to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many dimensions to this. But we as the family of God, as the church, people who follow Jesus Christ as our Lord, we got to deal with our sin. We got to deal with our stuff. And I believe the Third Great Awakening is going to be a beautiful montage of all of us. You know, all the ethnos coming together. I mean, what is that not what God wants?
Absolutely.
That's what he wants. And we have to learn to worship together and appreciate all the beautiful eclectic sounds that come from the body of Christ that just, it's beautiful. I think they're beautiful. All of them. Let's have some bagpipes, but I mean, I can push through. But from harpsichords to whatever, you know, I can handle it all. But the thing is that here we are, and this is what Dr. King said. You know, people could say what they, I mean, people, I was listening to some people who wrote some books recently. And they were saying, you know, I was the attorney and I did this and I did that. And it's like, yeah, but I saw Dr. King on the front lines. I saw him in the president's office and I saw that meeting in 1963 go into pot until he stood on the stage and begin to prophesy. and talk about what God had honed in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say what you want to, but that meeting was just kind of going down and going down until all of a sudden somebody in the crowd reminds him of what he's been saying. Don't forget about all that. Tell them what you've been saying,
yeah,
right?
Tell them,
and they begin to say, and that's what you do. Don't change your message, you know, change your audience. And so when he got there, he just began to say what this man of God, who was loyal to God and also a good American under the Constitution, began to share what God had put on his heart. And it's amazing. It is amazing. You know, you can go back and listen. Hopefully it's a related post. But you can listen to his sister, I believe it was, his sister
Anita?
Or his niece.
His niece, yeah.
His niece. When she had came over to spend some time and all that, and he was talking just outright, leaning on the fireplace. Mm-hmm. He's got his hands on the fireplace. And you can hear her tell this on the BFN
Torch. Sister-in-law.
And she's just seeing him leaning against the fireplace, and he's talking. And he's just kind of talking about what just happened to him. What happened to him, you know, that day everybody kind of wore a noose around their neck called a tie.
Yeah.
A real thin tie. And somebody grabbed him and literally choked him with the tie.
Mm.
And he comes home to an everyday family who's stuck in, you know, doing the everyday things with this extraordinary man who's still able to love, who is still able to be compassionate and still be able to press on and not be filled with so much hate and anger and resentment. I mean, how many people, you know, get stuck at a red light and got attitude all day long? I mean, dear God, forgive us in this generation, you know, that your computer's not moving fast enough.
Wow.
You got to call technical services. Dr. King was choked out. The African Americans in our country were oppressed for 450 years, 90% of our existence then since 1492, which leaves 10%.
Mm-hmm.
10%. And I want to talk more about that when we get back, because we want to prepare ourselves to really focus and say, God, what are you saying to America about all the nations that are here? How are we to honor you? I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more in viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.